I'm still recovering from my second cold already of the season. I'm not quite sure why, but there it is. As I thought about the service on Friday, we were driving down to Tauranga, where we've just come back from, and listening to everything on the radio and everything that was unfolding, I just realized this was an important moment in our nation. So I pray that this will be a special service for us as we reflect and pray together. One of the things that a number of my friends have put on Facebook is this famous quote from Martin Luther King, so I'll read that now. Returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding a deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only love can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And I guess one of my greatest prayers is that there would be a real outpouring of love at this time, and that we would see not more hate, but more love, more community, more coming together of Muslim and non-Muslim, and in fact all people of different cultures that call Aotearoa home. So what I'd like to do now is actually, if it's okay with you, break into groups of four or five, or just something around that number, not too big, so that you get a chance to pray if you would like to. And we've got some prayer requests on the screen there. So have you managing to, is that moving forward? Not moving forward. I've got prayer requests on my one. There's the quote and the next one, thank you. Great. So yeah, we've got some prayer requests there. I think it would be really important that we pray. Pray for the survivors that actually went through the tragedy. There's a lot of things to work through for them and for the victims' families. For Muslims and other immigrants to New Zealand not to live in fear. For the perpetrator, we are called to pray for our enemies. Pray for him and, of course, for his family now in hiding. Comfort for the people of Christchurch and indeed many others around the world who feel vulnerable at this time. Pray for the New Zealand and Australian governments to lay aside political agendas and provide wise security and whatever other policies that they believe are important. Friendship making, not hate peddling, between people of different cultures would become the norm in our nation. Wouldn't it be great if this is actually a catalyst for a real coming together? And that Christians would share the love of Christ and his message of forgiveness and hope with renewed fervour. So let's pray. So just find a group of people near you, and there's some requests, and we'll take a few minutes to do that. Following this time, I'll just give you some warning. There will be a time if you would like to share something, maybe a question, observation, a verse, a hymn, an encouragement, a personal story, a prayer, or whatever it might be. So have a think. If there's something you would like to share with us, then we'll do that after this as well. Thank you. Finish up now. Amen. Hey, some good praying going on, which is wonderful. As I mentioned before, I'd like to give anyone an opportunity who'd like to share something at this point. Maybe something you've been thinking about, a song, a hymn, something that's encouraging, or a thought, a question, a prayer, maybe a personal story. It's amazing how many people have connections. You know, New Zealand's a small place, and so you might have something you can share with us. So if we just have a couple of minutes of silence, there's nothing wrong with that. So just relax, and that's fine. But I suspect there probably are a few that might like to say something. So I've got the microphone. I can bring it to you, so you don't even have to come up. What a deal. Or you can come up too. So.
perhaps I thought it might be helpful to, I had the privilege in ministry of conducting two Muslim funerals, because at one stage I had a Muslim who was my church secretary in Australia, where church ministers are very spoiled. Government pays for secretarial support and so on. And so I deliberately always picked someone outside of the church family to get them right out of church politics. And if you can get a Muslim, so much the better. And she was wonderful. And over the time that she was there in the community of Broken Hill, there used to be a large Afghan community, because the Afghan camel drivers up through the hill and up through Northern Territory, of course, they were Muslims, and the mosque was right opposite the Salvation Army Citadel in Broken Hill. But the numbers had diminished, and over the years they couldn't support an imam, their mosque leader. And so after a few months of this lady working for me and for the church, one of her uncles passed away. So the family contacted me and asked me to go and meet with them and asked me would I conduct the funeral. And I said I would be privileged to do so. And what I did, I prayed, instead of as we would pray, "Dear Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus," I just prayed an Old Testament prayer. I read a couple of words from the Quran. And what the Muslim people do is the grave is cut, of course, facing Mecca. And right now, thanks to the wonderful work of the leadership of our Prime Minister and the Mayor of Christchurch, Leanne Dalziel, and others, graves are already being dug. And now we've had word this morning that the death toll was 50. It was 49 last night. What they do, they cut the grave with a little ledge. The coffin is lowered into the grave. Then plinths of wood put over the ledge, so there's a gap between the top of the coffin and the soil. The idea being that there'll always be that gap. Sure, little bits of soil will seep through. Then the male members of the Muslim community get their shovels and they just roughly cover over the grave. The women go to their car boots, bring out little tables and chairs and fresh fruit that are in season. And we sit around and eat a meal of fresh fruit. And that is a symbol of the newness that comes with the freshness of harvest every time, in apples and pears and bananas and so on and grapes. And so it's a symbol for them of what they believe is a new life for those that have parted. Tragically, within 5 months of me conducting that first Muslim funeral, another uncle passed away and I had to conduct another one. But they are two very special memories that I'll never forget.
Thanks so much, Sean. It's great.
Yeah, I went to the peace vigil thing down at Antier Square yesterday. I thought that was a really great event, actually. It was organised by the Khadija Leadership Network, a Muslim group, and they had a lot of people there, a lot of Muslim community leaders. They had and speakers, you know, lots of short speeches. They had a lot of politicians from all the major parties, which was really good. And they had police and lots of other people there. And there were some really good sentiments. It was, ironically perhaps, it was the most patriotic event I've ever been to. You know, New Zealanders aren't that patriotic, right? We don't usually stand around having big rallies yelling about how great New Zealand is, but that's pretty much what happened yesterday. And people were kind of, you know, the message was very clear from lots of different people that, you know, we're totally shocked this kind of thing could happen here. No one really believed it could happen here. But also, you know, we want to still be the kind of country where that doesn't happen here. We don't want to change into some kind of divided, hateful place. And it was really, actually, really encouraging, I think. And I think that was kind of the purpose of the rally as well. And I think it really succeeded in that. So I was really blessed to be there. Thank God.
Sounds great. The coming together, isn't it, is something you just don't see There's a wonderful article in the Herald we read of the rabbi of the Pittsburgh, synagogue, where they had a massacre, and how the Muslims came and stood guard outside the synagogue to protect the Jews going into the synagogue, and how beautiful that was after that massacre. So, yeah. Anyone else? Small or short or long? Or not long. Short or slightly less short?
Just short. Just thinking back a few weeks ago when I asked the question, you know, what would Jesus do? Or what would Jesus do if he were me in my situation and my context? And I guess that's a good question for us all to ask ourselves in this situation. What would Jesus have done? And I just thought back to his manifesto, Jesus' first words, really, when he went to the synagogue and opened the scroll and read from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, set me to proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So I have a real sense of praying for freedom, you know, because often there's so much, I guess, in grief, there's so much. The devil just wants to take all that away. And I really also liked reading that article about the synagogue leader and how, you know, the Muslim community reached out to them. That really was amazing to me. But one of the things I think he said in the article that there was kind of a memorial service, and all the different leaders of the different faiths were up the front. And the thing that struck him was what the Muslim imam said was, you know, to in terms of going to look after the people affected. So maybe different ones of us might have Muslim work colleagues, Muslim neighbours. I certainly know I do in Mount Roskill. Muslim students. And I had a wonderful time on Friday morning with my students. We'd invited Michael Wood to come join us for morning tea. He's the MP for our area, but also Undersecretary for Race... ethnic affairs, and just wonderful seeing him interact with all my students, Muslim students as well as the Chinese and Pacifica students and Ethiopians. And yeah, so, you know, just had that set real high in the morning on Friday, and then as we drove down to Tauranga, and just hearing, it was just the contrast, just amazed me, devastating. Just to think, you know, what would Jesus do if he were me in my situation, in my workplace, in my neighbourhood at this time? Yes, we can support the people in Christchurch, and that's a huge thing, but we can support the Muslim community here in Auckland who are also really, really struggling. Yeah.
Thank you. Anyone else? Now's your chance. Otherwise, we'll close this mic down. I don't have any more. No problem. I've got a prayer here that I'd like to pray. This also was someone had it on my Facebook page. Great. You get some great stuff on Facebook, some real rubbish too. I had some very cute kittens yesterday I was looking at, but this was more. Can we move on to the? We got another. Sorry. Thank you. I'll do the prayer now. So we'll click over to the prayer, and then I'll share the. Let's pray. God of all humanity, in times of violence, we see how inhuman we can be. We pray for those who today are weighed down by grief. God of comfort, comfort all who mourn. We pray for those who today are weighed down by fear. Let your love fill all our hearts so that we may respond in love. In these violent moments, let your peace rule in us so that we are not overcome by evil, but overcome with good. Establish among us a future where peace reigns, justice is done with mercy, and all are reconciled, because we need it. Amen. Now you can slip back to the boat. I'd just like to give a short reflection. It's kind of working. You'll notice in the newsletter I talked about the story of Jesus in the in the boat with the disciples, and I thought this would be a good story to share. In Mark 4:35, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, now what crowd has happened? Oh, he's just been teaching, kind of Sermon on the Mount sort of stuff. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." It's a great story, isn't it? Not just a story. It's an event that happened. Jesus there doesn't seem to care. You know, he's there sleeping on a cushion. Why is he sleeping on a cushion? Because he is exhausted. He is exhausted. He's asleep. And even in the storm, with the boat going all over the place, he is asleep there. And that question of the disciples, "Don't you care?" And at a time like this, this is a question sometimes people ask of God, don't they? "Don't you care, God? Why did you allow this to happen? Why is there pain and suffering in the world?" And I believe that the story doesn't fully answer that question, because that question is not fully answered in the Bible deliberately. But it does give us some really good clues. For a starter, of course, Jesus calms the storm. He has the ability to take the storm away and to take a situation and fix it and make it safe. Now, sometimes, as we know, that doesn't always happen. And as the song we were singing before or listening to, "I will praise you even in the storm," even when the wind is raging and the waves are billowing. So Jesus does calm the storm, and he gives them a lesson on faith. And faith is something that we really need in these times. Faith, by its very nature, is believing in something that we do not see, not in something that we do see. And he was wanting them to have faith even before he calmed the storm, as he says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" But, you know, Jesus was with them the whole time. So his presence and his care go together. He was with them in the storm, even though he was sleeping on a cushion. And he is with us too. He is with us in the difficult times, and he's with those who mourn and those who rejoice as well, because Jesus has come to us. He is God made flesh. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth. Jesus is God made human and the Son of God, and he has gone through what we've been through. He suffers, he feels, he is tempted, he has the emotions of a human being, he lives a human life, and he goes through the very kinds of hard things that we go through as well. And because of that, he is able to understand. He is able to understand. Not, you know, God understands, but Jesus lives it, has lived it, and fully empathizes and comes to us at those times. And then the final point I want to make is that the emphasis moves from being saved from the storm to realizing, who is this man, Jesus? He is able to calm the storm. He has authority over the wind and waves. He is something far greater than our mate that we're following along around the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And he is none other than the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this is the answer. He is the answer to the pain and suffering in the world. It is our Lord Jesus who has who is God and who is our mighty Savior. So just a few thoughts there from that. There's a whole lot more, I'm sure, that we could think about and unpack, but just a few thoughts with Jesus calming the storm. There's a song that I really only heard perhaps a couple of months ago, and I really like it because it reminds us of the world that is broken and the world that is coming again, and we're in this in-between time. It's a song by Chris Tomlin called "Is He Worthy? Is He Worthy?" It's a beautiful song. I hope you enjoy it. And then after the song, then Stuart will lead us in communion. So thanks. Thanks, T.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he's David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us? Does the Spirit move among us? And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those He loves? Does our God intend to dwell again with us? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal that opens? Is he worthy of